Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Lisa Koop joins us again. She's the Associate Director of Legal Services for the National Immigrant Justice Center, a nationwide organization, right?
That's right.
Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, John.
But based in Chicago, huh?
That's right.
Are there offices around the country then?
We have a policy shop in D.C. and a satellite office in Goshen, Indiana, so north central Indiana.
You're a privately funded organization?
Mostly, yes. So foundations, donations, grants here and there.
And the purpose of the organization is to
provide legal representation to low-income immigrants and asylum seekers.
So when this wave of migrants were suddenly told that the USA has zero tolerance at the border, some of the kids were separated from their parents.
Right.
Just recollecting the reason that we're even standing here. And some of them then were put in facilities that house migrants or asylum seekers throughout the country. Some of them came to Chicago.
Right.
But separated from their children.
Right.
So did we get adults here or just the kids here?
Well, so we did. And to be clear, they were going into immigration jails. So these were detention centers, some of them run by private prison corporations, some of them space leased from county jails and so forth. And some of the adults came to the Midwest. Most of them were housed in facilities along the border, but we did have some here in the Chicago area for whom we provided representation.
And those kids are in facilities that exist sort of for this purpose.
Well, the facilities exist to care for children who arrive to the United States unaccompanied, and their purpose was really co-opted when suddenly they were being asked to house and care for children that had been taken from their parents at the border. So whose parents were in the United States, available, willing, very eager, in fact, desperate to be with them.
Last we spoke, the crisis was even knowing which kids belonged to which adults and would they be reunited. And you were frustrated by the lack of a paper trail. It was difficult for you guys to figure out what kid belonged where, right?
Right. And that situation remains. It's changed a little bit. We've now seen more families reunited, but we're also learning about parents who were deported while their children were in shelters across the United States, and parents that had asylum claims who were essentially coerced to accept deportation rather than fight their asylum claims and be reunified with their children.
What's the deadline today?
So by today, the government is supposed to have reunified all of the unaccompanied children. So before it was the really little kids, the under fives, and now the children 5 through 17 are supposed to be back with their parents by today.
And what do you know about that?
We know that they've far from succeeded in that goal and haven't complied with the court order. We still have here in Chicago more than a dozen children that haven't been reunified with their parents. In some instances, the parents were deported. In some, the government is alleging that the parents are somehow unfit, and so they're using that as a basis for declining to reunify. And in other cases, I think it's just a lack of coordination, structure, knowing where the parents are, that's prevented them from effectively reunifying these families.
Are you mad at the people that are running this, or since it was suddenly thrust upon a system that wasn't ready for it, could we hope that these are well-intended people doing the best they can in an untenable situation?
Which
is it?
I think there were a lot of people that bear guilt and responsibility in this throughout the federal government. I think, the shelters that were intended for another purpose that were suddenly scrambling to respond at breakneck speed to these really difficult conditions are doing their best under the circumstances. But I think throughout the chain of command in the federal government, there's a lot of responsibility to spread around.
Like where? Like whom? Like what?
I mean, it starts at the top, right? This was, our president made the decision to implement the zero tolerance policy. His attorney general, his senior advisors, the secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, the secretary of Health and Human Services, people at the Office of Refugee Resettlement. I can keep going. People on the front lines at the ports of entry who were telling asylum seekers that they weren't allowed to enter, and sending them back to places where they potentially face harm, really throughout the system.
you made the distinction for us last time, and it's critical, asylum seeker versus somebody who is not necessarily being persecuted at home. They're just coming here because they think it would be to their advantage. There is a difference, right?
Sure, there's a difference. And the law recognizes eligibility for status in several different ways.
So how's somebody at the border on that works for the United States supposed to know what the real story is?
I don't think they should be tasked with making a determination about whether or not someone qualifies for asylum or not. We have systems in place where people who we have judges, we have systems, we have due process and courts set up to help people figure out whether or not they qualify for the relief they're seeking or not. I think tasking a frontline border guard to make a determination about whether someone should be allowed to seek asylum or not is a deeply flawed system.
Last time you were here and after you left, somebody texted in and they said, why don't these people just wait their turn? The same way the other people have. What's your answer to that?
Well, I think that that's a common misconception that there's a line for people to get in and they can wait their turn and eventually come to the United States. Again, we have written into our laws this protection for refugees, these asylum laws, and asking people to wait their turn when their families are being threatened, when other family members have been killed, when women in their family have been raped. You know, that's not what our system requires, and that's not how our system should work.
Right. But I think what is, and I think there's a lot of sympathy for those people. There's less, though, for the people that are abusing the system, that are just coming here for economic advantage, and they don't want to wait their turn. And we think that that's more common. That's really what we're talking about here. This other thing is a thing, but it's not the main thing. What do you think about that?
I think there are a mix of complicated reasons that compel people to come to the United States. And I think that people have the right to have their claims tested. And if it turns out they don't warrant asylum, they don't have a claim, then, you know, our system requires that they not be allowed to stay here. And I think that's fair. No one, again, is saying that we should have open borders and that everyone who crosses should be allowed to stay.
Okay, and we've got to figure out who's who and what's what. So they come here, seek asylum, or pretend to seek asylum when they don't have a claim. What should happen to them that has not happened to them?
Well, I think that, again, people should be allowed to go before an immigration judge and
on a day-to-day basis, what should happen to them? I mean, so we're not going to give them the keys to a car and say, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. They need to be detained.
Right.
And
right.
They need to be detained somewhere, don't they?
Well, they don't need to be detained. I think that the government, I know that the government has millions of dollars available to them to use alternatives to detention that have been, you know, these are evidence-based techniques that have been shown to work. And people can have regular appointments with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. I was emailing this morning with ICE officers about clients of mine who have check-in appointments coming in.
In the Chicago area?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just talk about that. What is that scene that you just described?
Well, so here in Chicago, there's the Office of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and they subcontract with some private offices as well, with whom people have regular check-in appointments. So it might be every month, it might be every 6 months, depending on the procedural posture of a case.
And these people show up for those appointments, people that you work with, that you help represent.
Yes.
But these are asylum seekers.
Not always. Sometimes. Sometimes these are people who are seeking other protections through family members. So asylum's not the only way to defend against deportation. Our laws also recognize that some people who have lived in the United States for more than 10 years have the right to request a pardon to be allowed to stay in the United States. Or some people might have a family member through whom they can regularize their status. So our laws, our Immigration and Nationality Act contains a range of legal defenses that are available to people who are seeking to remain in the United States.
Well, Lisa, you just have such a charitable outlook on this sort of thing. And we don't want to be charitable about this. We want to be fair and protective about this. And people are coming into this country illegally, right? We have millions of them in this country illegally, right?
Well, we have people that come in without proper documentation, sure.
You object to the word illegally?
I think illegally as an adjective is okay. I think referring to people, which you didn't do, as illegals is something that we'd want to steer far away from.
Why?
Because a human being can't be illegal. Someone can commit an act that's not lawful. But, you know, using terminology to demonize immigrants, as we've seen this administration
they're
do.
They're illegals. Using that, calling somebody an illegal is offensive.
I believe it is.
If nothing else.
I think both. Yeah.
People who come here illegally.
Okay.
I'm speaking for the people listening to us now who want us to make the distinction between these charitable cases we're talking about, these deserving cases, and the mass of people that have come or will yet still come if we don't do something at
our border. And I think it's a little bit of a misconception that there are masses of people rushing the border. Our net migration in the last number of years has been at zero. Our border crossings are, depending on how you count it, lower than they've been in a very long time. And so we've been, you know, convinced by you know, certain facets of our government that there is this crisis at the border, but this is a crisis that they've manufactured, which is not to say that anybody should be allowed to cross the border and come in and build a life in the United States without repercussion. But I think we need to also take a pragmatic look at the contributions immigrants make to our community and, you know, a lot of the misconceptions that are fueling this debate.
Saw a story this week about a family in Missouri that voted for Donald Trump, and the mother has since been deported. And now she Skypes to her 17-year-old daughter and her husband here in the United States. They never thought it would come to this. And I don't know how they feel about that vote now, but, I mean, it is happening. Elections have consequences, and this is what we have right now. Although, I'm going to ask you about that, and I'm looking at my producer, Elif. Lisa Koop is in our studio. She's the Associate Director of Legal Services for the National Immigrant Justice Center. Today is the day that all children were supposed to be reunited. It is 2:26. I've got about 60 more seconds here, and then we got to take a break. Not even that. So let's just real quickly wrap this up. So Today, the deadline, what's happening?
Well, so we still have children who haven't been reunified with their parents. We have children who, as of yesterday, were sent to the wrong facility where their parents weren't after all. So we're still seeing really high levels of chaos and really insufficient compliance with the court order by the government.
If people want to contribute to find out more or be part of what you folks do, how do they do that?
Immigrantjustice.org.
Immigrantjustice.org. Lisa, keep doing the good work you guys are doing over there. I know you got your hands full.
Thanks,
I'm so appreciative of you taking the time to come visit with us today. Do visit with us again.
It's always a pleasure.